Invitation to the New Testament. The New Testament is the second of the two major divisions in the Bible, filling the final one quarter of its pages. It continues the story, begun in the First Testament, of how God is restoring His original purpose in creation by working through the chosen people of Israel. It tells specifically how this story reached its crowning moment in the first century AD as Jesus of Nazareth, Israel's Messiah, answered the question of who God is and what He's like once and for all. Through His teaching, Jesus revealed the deepest meaning of the laws and institutions God gave to the people of Israel. Through His actions, He demonstrated what human life and community were meant to be, as He brought healing and restoration everywhere He went. And through His death and resurrection, Jesus introduced the forgiveness and life of the age to come into the present age. The New Testament also tells how the followers of Jesus formed a new community and invited people from all over the world to join them. It describes how they worked together to live out the reign of God that Jesus had announced and begun. Finally, the New Testament looks ahead to the day when Jesus will return to renew all of creation and to establish God's justice and peace throughout the earth. The New Testament tells this story through the words of 26 different books that were written for a variety of occasions between the middle and end of the first century. These books vary in length, and they represent several different kinds of writing. Most of them are letters, some as short as a single page. On the other hand, a book of history that contains two volumes, Luke, Acts, makes up one quarter of the entire New Testament. There are also books that continue literary traditions developed in the First Testament. James is similar to the wisdom books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and Revelation is an apocalypse like the second half of the book of Daniel. The New Testament also contains what are traditionally known as the four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, the first half of Luke-Acts, and John. Gospel should not be thought of primarily as a specific kind of writing. The word actually refers to the content of these books. It means good news. In the New Testament, this term refers to the basic content of the message about Jesus that His followers shared far and wide. Thus, the Gospel according to Matthew, the traditional title of that book, originally meant the good news as told by Matthew. The story of Jesus' life does serve as the framework and foundation for the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but in important ways these books still differ from one another in their literary character, as the invitations to them will indicate. When we read all of the New Testament's books with an appreciation for when and why they were written, and for the kind of literature they represent, the story of how Jesus brought God's plan to its culmination unfolds before us. Unfortunately, the order of the books of the New Testament in most printed Bibles today doesn't help us appreciate these things. For example, since Luke and Acts are two volumes of a single work, they should be read together. The three letters of John are best understood when read with the Gospel of John, since they are all by the same author and reflect the same perspective. But in the traditional order, Luke and Acts are separated by the Gospel of John, and John's letters are separated from his Gospel by most of the New Testament. In addition, the wisdom book of James has been traditionally placed in the middle of a group of letters, suggesting that it should be read as a letter. It shouldn't. And in most printed Bibles, the 13 letters the Apostle Paul wrote are presented roughly in order of length. As a result, they're out of historical order. This makes it difficult to read them with an appreciation for where they fit in the context of his life and for how they express the development of his thought. The order of the New Testament books in this edition seeks to express the ancient concept of the fourfold gospel in a fresh way. The traditional priority of the stories of Jesus is retained, but now each gospel is placed at the beginning of a group of related books. The presentation of four witnesses to the one gospel of Jesus, the Messiah, is enhanced by a fuller arrangement that will help readers better appreciate why the books of the New Testament were written and what kind of literature they represent. The four sets of books, each headed by a gospel, form a cross, as it were, around the central figure of Jesus. Each sheds its light on his story in a unique way. We have reunited the two volumes of Luke-Acts and placed them first because they provide an overview of the New Testament period. This allows readers to see where most of the other books belong. Next come Paul's letters in the order in which we believe they were most likely written. Luke was one of Paul's co-workers in sharing the good news about Jesus, so it's appropriate to pair Paul's letters with Luke's volumes. The Gospel according to Matthew comes next, together with two books, Hebrews and James, which are also addressed to Jews who believe in Jesus as their Messiah. Then comes the Gospel according to Mark, which many scholars believe was actually the first Gospel to be written, together with the letters of Peter, since Mark seems to tell the story of Jesus' life from Peter's perspective. Also included in this group is the letter of Jude, which is similar to Peter's second letter. Our final group begins with the Gospel according to John, which can suitably come last among the Gospels because it represents a mature reflection after many years on the meaning of Jesus' life. The letters of John follow his Gospel. The book of Revelation is appropriately placed last and by itself, since it is unique in literary type and perspective, and since it describes how God's saving plan for all of creation will ultimately be realized.